I want to start with a little confession. If you're tuning in when this goes live, then today is my 49th birthday. It also happens to be our wedding anniversary. Scott and I got married on my 30th birthday, which means every year, without fail, I get to mark two things at once. How far we've come together and how far I've come in myself. And this year, standing on the edge of 49, something feels different. Not harder, clearer. So today, I want to share what this year has actually taught me about leadership, about success, about the kind of woman I'm becoming and the kind of life that I'm choosing from here. If any part of you has wondered whether your best chapter is already behind you, stay with me, because I think you're going to feel very differently at the end of this conversation. I'm Emily Rogers. I'm a leadership and business coach, and I'm based in Bangkok. This channel is for women who are navigating the in-between, the space between who you have been and who you are becoming. I have honest conversations here, the kind that rarely get had out loud. Scott and I got married on my 30th birthday, not by coincidence, by choice. And every year, this day doubles as a kind of stock take. What is the year contained and who am I in it? At 30, I was in the middle of building my HR career in Auckland. I'd followed a man to New Zealand a few years earlier. It hadn't worked out. I had quietly built something serious in the wreckage of that plan. I was ambitious, I was capable, I'd worked very hard. I was also, if I'm honest, constantly performing. Performing competence, performing certainty, performing the version of myself I thought was most acceptable to the room. At 49, I do not do that anymore. Not because I stopped caring, but because I stopped needing to. And that distinction has changed everything. The shift from proving yourself to trusting yourself, it's not a surrender. It is a promotion. So let me tell you what I genuinely care less about now. Not as a brag, but as a relief. I care less at being liked by everyone in the room. I still care deeply about the people I serve, but I have stopped contorting myself to be palatable to the people who are not my people. I care less about appearing to have everything together. Recently, I described 2024 as a year I was a swan. Smooth on the surface, maybe even elegant, dare I say it, but legs paddling furiously underneath. I spent a lot of that year managing that image, but at 49, I would rather just say, this is what's going on. I care less about whether my path looks logical to someone else. I've lived in 7 different countries. I've been a HR director, a relocation consultant with a newborn in Mumbai, a walking group organizer in Chongqing, a coaching award winner in Delhi on a volunteer basis. None of it looks linear. It is all connected. And at 49, I can see that thread. I care less about the timeline. The idea that there is a window for ambition and that window closes is one of the most damaging things we can tell women. It is not true. The women I work with who are starting businesses in their 40s and 50s, they're not behind. They're better resourced, they're better boundaried, and they're less willing to settle for work that doesn't mean something. Midlife is not the end of ambition. It's where ambition gets honest. I want to tell you about a conversation I come back to more than any other. A few years ago, when Dad was dying of cancer, he died in September 2021, so in the lead up to that, it was during Auckland's longest lockdown, and I couldn't get to him. I was in New Zealand, he was in Australia, we had had a trans-Tasman bubble, but the borders were now closed. But before he died, we did have one last really good conversation. And in that conversation, he told me something that has been the backbone of everything I've built since. He told me that I could do more. Not that I was falling short, but that there was more in me than what I was using. He had watched me build communities in cities where I knew nobody, win a global coaching award, doing pro bono work because I couldn't get a work visa, starting a business at 40 with no guarantee it would work. And his assessment was, you're just getting started. I still hear his voice when I'm exercising. It used to be when I was walking. I don't do that so much in Bangkok anymore. But when I'm exercising, it's when I have the stillness and I can still hear his voice. When I'm sitting with a difficult decision, I can hear Dad's encouragement. When something's hard, when I'm thinking about whether to keep going, I can hear him, Em, you can do more. And he was right. One of the clearest signs that 49 feels different to 39, I finally believe him. The woman who told me I was past my prime were measuring me against a version of success that I don't want anymore. So I want to talk about ambition because I think we have a language problem around it. For most of my career, ambition meant doing more, taking on more, proving more. In 2024, that year I talk about being a swan, I was running coaching sessions, I was managing a part-time contract, we'd moved house twice already, a third was on the horizon, we were renovating a house, my mum was on the other side of the Trans-Tasman, I was showing up for two teenage girls. On the surface, it looked seamless, but it wasn't. And that's not sustainable ambition. That is performance with a plan. Sustainable ambition looks different now I'm 49. It means building something I actually want to be still building in 5 years' time. It means saying no to work that pays well but drains everything. It means designing my week around what I need to do to produce my best work. Not around what looks impressively full to someone watching from outside. In Taipei years ago, I made a very deliberate decision. I would not volunteer immediately on arriving in the country, which is what I had always done previously. I would not fill the gap. I had spent years filling every gap in every city. This time I would wait. I was just going to pause and I was going to figure out what I actually wanted for myself. I had no idea what that was. But that pause led to a conversation at the school gate that started Expat Parenting Abroad, which eventually became The Leap to Lead. Sometimes the most ambitious thing you can do is stop trying to fill the space and allow the clarity to arrive. Sustainable ambition, it's built on knowing what you want to stop doing as much as what you want to start. One of the things that no one warns you about in the best possible way is the freedom that comes from emotional maturity. I don't mean being older. I mean the specific ability to sit with discomfort without immediately trying to fix it, explain it, or perform your way out of it. I often talk about when my daughter spilled a glass of milk. I overreacted, and I saw genuine fear in her face. That moment is the beginning of the leap to lead, not because it was dramatic, but because I recognized myself in it. A woman who had given so much of herself to everyone else, she had nothing left, and was taking it out on the people she loved the most. Emotional maturity is what has grown in the years since that moment. The ability to pause before I respond. The capacity to feel disappointed without spiraling. The willingness to be in the middle of a transition without needing to name it, fix it, or fast forward through it. That's what transition intelligence is built on. The recognition that the space in the middle, the part that feels uncertain, unfinished, is not the problem. It is the work. And at 49, it's where you actually start to trust that. Women become more powerful when they stop performing steadiness and actually develop it. So 7 countries, 25 years plus in HR and coaching, 2 daughters who are watching me, and 1 business I built from the wreckage of a plan that didn't go the way I expected. And a birthday week that feels, for the first time in a long time, like something worth actually marking. I'm less interested in proving now. I'm more interested in building something real, more interested in being fully present for the people I love, more interested in showing my girls what it looks like to lead your life rather than manage it. And that is what 49 is teaching me. Before I go, I want to leave you with a question to sit with. What has this season taught you about yourself? What are you less interested in proving now? And what matters more? You don't have to have an answer straight away, but I encourage you to sit with that. If these conversations resonate, I write about it every week. Honestly, with no polish, no performing, just the real version. So pour yourself a cuppa and join me at theleaptolead.com/newsletter.